So, your brothers and sisters, there were seven.
That's right.
And your mother also had a daughter from her first marriage. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, she had my dad send for her when Kate was about 16. And we were still living on that Riendo when she came. And it was Halloween. And we kids, we were going to play a trick on her. I guess my two older sisters and I. That's what was as old, because at that time I was about 6 years old, you know, or something. Anyway, we used Uncle's masks and costumes and everything, and we wanted to scare her. We, believe you me, we did. She tore everything up, and the next day we all got it for Halloween. There was no more Halloween for us, because my uncle was waiting for us. If my mother didn't give it to us, or my father, he sure did. So we knew the switch was waiting someplace. Can you imagine us? We were scared of that switch.
Oh, goodness. Kate had, that was your sister, had lived with your mother's mother all those years.
Yeah. And with my grandmother, yeah. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother over there, what I understand, was blind, and she was living with some relative of hers that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I've never met that grandmother because I've never been over there, and I don't know nothing about her.
Mm-hmm.
She died when she was about 90-some years old.
Oh, really?
That's what I do remember. Mm-hmm. And my father had, his father was over there. And my name was after one of his, my father's sisters. She was the tallest in their family, and naturally I had to be the tallest in our family. So everybody in my family else was 5'3", 5'4". Me, I'm 5'7", the giant, you know, of the family, of the girls. Of course, both of my brothers later on came to be about 6 footers, because my dad was tall.
Yeah,
my mother was not tall.
So the girls kind of took after your mom, and the boys took after your dad, and so did
you. And I followed my dad, yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess getting up in the years here now, getting around to the time of the Depression, what can you tell us about this time? How was life before and then after the Depression?
Oh, but let me tell you something. When Kate came over, my mother was cooking yellow cornmeal in this little old pot, and my half-sister kept saying, gee, I could eat that whole thing myself. But when my mother served everybody, and my half-sister ate her share, she got up and she said, what a wonderful country. I am so full that I ate this little bowl. She said, and she kept looking at that bowl, you know, pot, and she kept thinking, that isn't enough to feed this family, but I guess it was. I guess the climate agreed with us, and we all got stuffed in no time flat. And so what were you asking me?
Oh, just about, you know, what your dad, what kind of money your dad made before the Depression, and then what happened afterwards. And
well, my father was working in the rail mill. He was a rail straightener, and he had a lot of buddies there. And he made pretty good money for that time of the year, of those years, you know. And what would I say those years were? 30s or earlier? Anyway.
Late 20s.
He made pretty good money. $30 a day straightening rails. Well, when the Depression hit or something, then everybody was out of work. There was nobody working. And I guess boys were going to CC camps, and there was the WPA, and we girls had to do with whatever we had. We went to the YMCA to get some material, because the government said, here, we got material for you so you can make some clothes, so the family won't go naked around. And I said, oh my Lord, we all look like a bunch of prisoners. Red and white, or blue and white, whatever, striped. that was okay. We all looked alike and we all knew where we got it. Nobody had anything better than the next guy. And it didn't matter as long as we were all happy and fed up and living the life that you're living.
How far did you go in school?
Oh, I went through the 10th grade. When I left the high school, I had to quit. But let me tell you something else. When I first started working, I was only 11 years old. And I worked for this family. They had three boys and a girl. And the mother, well, I could call her something, but I'm not going to say it. Anyway, she'd tell us, bake a cake this morning, today. So I said, okay, we're going to bake a cake. We have to go to the store to get vanilla. Fine. Okay, and the next day, same thing, bake a cake. Well, her daughter and I were having a ball. We're baking a cake. The kids are all looking there. How many cakes a week are we going to have? Every day was a cake. What happened to the vanilla? Every day you had to go look for the vanilla. Go buy another bottle. That was horrible. I never in my life imagined anybody would drink that stuff. I couldn't believe my eyes. But that's happened. Okay, that's the first job. Then I went to work doing housework for people. $3 a week. You had to watch your mother would tell you, when you get paid, you bring that $3 here. Okay, the bus only, the streetcar only cost 4 cents. But if I broke that $1, I didn't have $3 to give my mother. With this was, you turned over what you earned. And you were grateful to do this. You never questioned your parents. Well, this one I was working for, she said, you know, I'm going to buy me a washing machine and I'll give you 50 cents more if you'll do the laundry. I said, oh, okay. Well, I did the laundry that weekend when she was supposed to pay me. She said, I can't pay you because I have to pay for the washer. And she said, you can't get that 50 cents. And I said, well, then I'm not going to do the laundry either. Forget it. That was it. And not only that, but the woman was making shorts for her child. And I was sitting there. Here I am about 15 years old. And this woman was in her 30s or whatever. And she saw it. And I'm watching her. And she's fiddling and fooling around with it. And I said, do you have a problem? She says, yeah, I can't get this shorts to match. Oh, of course you can't. You're putting the sleeve there. You don't put the sleeve in where the shorts are at. And she said to me, well, smarty, if you know so much about it, then you do it. So I had to sit and sew that thing up for her. And I thought, my land, learn to keep your mouth shut so you're not doing these things. And I said, here's this woman. I thought she was educated. She knew what she was doing. Look, my next job turned out to be Monsignor Miller wanted somebody to come and cook for the nuns. Sister Mary Valverde was in charge. So this one, everything was fine. I'd fix their breakfast and whatever and put it on the table. I never had to wash their dishes. They washed their own dishes at their table. And put it on. All I did was take care of what was in the kitchen. So this one day she said to me, Mildred, she says, we're going to have pork chops. Now you fix pork chops and dressing. And put the dressing down and the pork chops on top. And I'm looking at her, where am I going to put it? She shows me this double boiler. I had never seen this pot in my life. I never saw one. So I kept thinking, oh, well, okay, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. So what do? I put the dressing in the bottom part of the pot. And the pork chops on top, in the top part, the double boiler. Well, they come home from school, they want to, she said, where's the dressing? I said, there. Oh, honey, she said, that ain't where you put it. She said, you put it up here, and then the pork chops on top. And I said, lo and behold, I learned something every day. That was for the water. I didn't know that. I've never seen a double boiler, but I got it now. So, then my next job, where will I say I went? Okay, went to work at the St. Mary Convent. It was the old Corwin Hospital. Then I started to work on L Ward, which was surgical. And when you got there, you were lucky you had a job because things were getting pretty tight everywhere.
How much did you make?
I made a dollar and a quarter a day there. What I made at the nuns, I don't remember. I don't know. It wasn't a heck of a lot. Well, anyway, I was at the hospital, I was making a dollar and a quarter a day, and I thought, boy, am I getting rich, you know. This was really something. And every day I'd go to work, I made my own uniforms and everything. And my mother says, you could find a job someplace else. You don't need to do that kind of work. She did not like me to work at the hospital. I said, this was only 6 blocks from home. I walked, I didn't have to spend no money anywhere. I made my own uniforms and I enjoyed it because I loved working around sick people. I don't know, that was my, something in my body, I guess. And of course, this one day she told me, well, you have 2 days, 2 afternoons off. You had Thursday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. So the first week I worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning, well, 11 o'clock. I said, well, I'm finished. Can I go home? This is my afternoon. Oh, yeah. Well, believe you me, the next day I come to work and she says, you never leave this place until those dressing pans are taken care of. And I looked at her and I said, well, the doctor never makes it till 1 o'clock. What am I supposed to do? You gotta do that. I thought, okay, fine. Come 11 o'clock, I'm going into the bathroom and I'm gonna stay there till 1 o'clock and then I'll come out here and do these here pants and get them down to be autoclaved and take care of it. And I ain't gonna wait on nobody in between those 2 hours, believe you me. And then I said, then I could go home at 3 o'clock like every day. And my mother says, I thought you had an afternoon off. I says, yeah, I spent 2 hours sitting in the bathroom so I could come and finish what I had to do. And I said, you didn't argue, because then they tell you, well, if you can't do it, we can always find somebody else. And that, to me, didn't set right. I got this job, nobody else is going to have it. I don't care who it is. And I don't care if I had to work every day 7-8 hours a day, I was going to stick it out. And I did it. Sometimes I was very unhappy, but you did it.
How long did you work at the hospital?
Well, when I started there, working at the hospital until I got married, then I quit for a little while because I went to the radio school, and that didn't last long because in the meantime I got pregnant and you can't go with that. I'd probably ended in Virginia if I went right on through with it, you know. Instead, no, I had to get married. Forget this jazz. So, all together, I guess it'd be over 30 years together. Mm-hmm. You figure it all out. But anyway, I enjoy my life. But if I had brains, I'd have sure tried to study and be a nurse or something else instead of being a glorified aide. But anyway, my last few years of working, I worked in the newborn nursery, and I worked labor and delivery and postpartum, and whenever they wanted you anywhere, you went, and you were glad to do it. But I liked the best working in the newborn nursery. That was a lot more fun, and you got a lot of education there on the babies. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I liked to work around sick people was when my sister, she was about a year and a half, 2 years older than I. And she got real sick one year. Oh, she'd work, she'd go to school and come home and she'd go work. And of course, Halloween night she had to go to a dance. And my dad told her, Mary, if you are tired, don't go in the car and fall asleep. There were no blankets or anything. And in Colorado in October, you have snow up to your knees, if not more. But anyway, she was tired and she fell asleep, and I guess she caught a real bad cold because she was sick for a long time. And I used to go in every morning and take care of her, do what I could for her. And that one morning I walked in and the sight of her face was just drawn. I didn't know what it was. But anyway, I told my mother I just didn't like the way Mary looked. Mama said, you just go on to school. Then, when I came home from school, they had already taken her to the hospital because she was in bad condition. She had pneumonia, and plus that, she had a kind of a heart condition. Well, a few days before she died, I had a dream. Believe it or not, it was just as clear as day. I was in second hour at school thinking, oh, you know, taking a test, and the phone rings. Well, the teacher answers it. Pretty soon the phone rings again. You got to change classes. So when as I was going out of this classroom, the teacher told me, she says, Mildred, go down to the office. I don't need to go down to the office. I know what it is. It's 10 o'clock and my sister died.